Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you're a guest, once again, we're so delighted that you are here. We pray that God's blessing will be upon you and your family. And let us know how we can minister, how we can be a blessing to you. Amen. But thank you for joining us here today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I believe this today. There's somebody here that, and probably it's more than one, but God has something so great for your life. So very great for your life. And we all fight that temptation to focus on all kinds of earthly things. And then we try to find room with what's left over to give the kingdom of God a little something. But Jesus said we got to change our priorities. We've got to change our priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I preach to you today, first the kingdom. First the kingdom. Praise the Lord. God, I pray that you would touch us and move in this house, because I believe you're wanting to take us to a dimension that we've never experienced before. I believe that you have blessings. I believe that you have open doors. I believe, Lord, there's people in this room that have a mighty, mighty calling upon their life. But God, in order for us to see those things, in order for us to realize that potential that you have for us, we've got to put your kingdom first. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in me, move in me, help me here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, have your way in our hearts, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. Our text today is part of the most famous sermon ever preached, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, chapters 5 through 7. And Jesus is really, he's talking about what life in God's kingdom looks like. It's a completely different way of looking at things as compared to the way that the world looks at things. And in the verses before the one that we read today, Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus challenges us. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Many Bibles give us a heading for these verses. It will stay there, and many Bibles will say, the cure for worry. The cure for anxiety. The cure for worry. When we get things out of order, and we get to focusing on all the things of life, more than we focus on Jesus, worry finds a way in. But there is far more to life than the food we put in our stomach or the clothes that we wear. Look at how God cares for the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Are we not more important unto God? We're not to worry about all these things in life. and how we limit ourselves when we're so occupied, preoccupied with getting instead of focusing on what God is giving us. Take no thought for your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the remedy for worry. That's the answer for anxiety right there. Oh, people think I've just got a financial problem, or I've got a relationship problem, or I've got a career problem, or whatever kind of problem it is. The problem is really about our priorities. When God's kingdom is first, come on, when God's kingdom is first, everything falls into place. When we get things out of order and we put other things first instead of God's kingdom, that's when worry shows up. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about what we eat and what we wear, but it could be many things. What we worry about shows us where our attention is. And the solution for worry is to make God's kingdom priority in our life, to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to tell you today, if we've been chasing after the wrong things, and all we have to show for it today is a lot of strain and stress and tension and trepidation, and if we've not been seeking the kingdom of God, and all that we've worked for has just brought nothing but worry to our life, it's time to make some change in our priorities. The blessing is not just in seeking the kingdom. The blessing is in seeking it first. Come on, the blessing is not just that we're seeking the kingdom, but I've got to seek it first. I've got to put God first. I've got to make sure my priorities line up right. Many people, they had the kingdom of God somewhere on the list. Well, you know, prayer time is there somewhere, and church attendance is on the list, and they try to tithe, and maybe give an offering here and there if there's enough left over. And the blessing, though, is not just in seeking the kingdom. The blessing is in seeking the kingdom of God first. Someone asked the Lord, Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, this is not what most people do. There's a lot of people, they love God, but Jesus said, love God with everything you have. All our heart, all our soul, all of our mind. There's got to be a shift today in the way that we look at things. There's got to be a shift in the way that we see it. It's kind of like when you're putting together a puzzle, and if you're focused on all those pieces of the puzzle, it can get really overwhelming. If we don't see the big picture, we can spend all day just kind of trying to put random pieces together, and nothing really fits right. But when we see the picture on the box, when we see the big picture, the pieces start to make sense. And when we try to build a life that is fitting the picture that God has intended for us, if we don't see that big picture, no matter how hard we try, the pieces don't fit together right. But when the kingdom of God comes first, everything else starts to make sense. Maybe there's somebody here today that life has never really made sense to you. But if you'll put the kingdom of God first, I tell you, the pieces are going to start falling into place. And there's going to be a transformation in your life. And you're going to really start living the way that God has intended for you to live. But it's got to be first the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. When Jesus was standing before him, Pilate asked him, he said, are you the king of the Jews? And then In John chapter 18, verse 36, we read, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." And Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Are you a king? Well, that's why he was born. That's why he came into this world. But his kingdom is not of this world, but from another. And Jesus did not come to set up a physical kingdom, to sit on a throne in an earthly place. That confused his disciples. They were looking for somebody who would put Rome in its place and would deliver them and set up a new kingdom on this earth. But God's kingdom was something else. He took on the form of a man and came to bear witness unto the truth, to shine the light of salvation into a dark and dying world. He came to set people free, to save us from our sins. I tell you, Jesus came that we might have hope. He came so we could come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. He was born for that purpose. And I'm preaching to a people today that you have been born for a purpose. Come on, you've been born for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. Maybe you've not found your purpose yet, but trust me, God has a will for your life. God has things that he has designed for you. You may be young, you may be older, but if you're still breathing today, God has a purpose for you here on this earth. And whether we find that purpose or not, it depends on what kingdom we're serving. In that moment when Jesus stood before Pilate, I want to tell you, the Roman Empire, it looked very powerful. Pilate had earthly authority. The Jewish religious leaders, they were very strong. But today, Rome is gone. Pilate is gone. The Jewish leaders are gone. Yet the kingdom that Jesus spoke about, it's still advancing. It's still growing. Amen. It's still in power. We've been born for a purpose, but God, he has to unfold that plan for us. And before he unfolds that plan, he says, "Will you surrender to my kingdom?" Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." How exciting to know that God has been thinking about us. Isn't that exciting? God's been thinking about you. He has plans for you. He has thoughts towards you, good thoughts, good thoughts. He has things that he expects for our life. But before he unwraps all of that, he must become our king. Before anything else, it must be first the kingdom. It must be first the kingdom before self. Every kingdom has a king. And there can only be one ruler on the throne. God is not competing with Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, there's a lot of power in Washington, D.C., but God's the one that puts people on the throne, puts people in the White House. Amen. Puts people in Congress. God's the one that has the authority. His authority is not threatened by Hollywood today. It's not threatened by the culture that we live in. What competes with God's kingdom is self. Self. Because we want our way. Our flesh constantly wants to sit on the throne. And we want what we want, and we want it right now. In our time, and how we prefer it, and our agenda, and our plan, and our dream. But the kingdom of God begins where self ends. The real question was never whether Jesus was a king. The real question was, would Pilate submit to him? And what a struggle Pilate had. He told the people, he said, I find no fault in him. But they demanded that Jesus be crucified. Pilate's wife warned him, don't get mixed up with condemning this innocent man. She had been troubled all night long by a dream about Jesus. But the people demanded that he release Barabbas and crucify the Lord. And he asked them, he said, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. Pilate knew better. This was an innocent man. This was a king from another world, but Pilate submitted to the people. And he washed his hands as if that would excuse him, but he rejected the kingdom of God for the kingdom of self. What's convenient for me right now in this moment? It's the greatest struggle we'll ever have, bowing ourselves to God's kingdom. It's the greatest struggle. Our fleshly desires ask, well, can I do this? Or can I go there? Or can I wear this? Or can I have that in my life? Can I live this way? What we really need to be asking today is, what does the king want? What pleases the king? What kind of lifestyle is the king looking for? What kind of clothing gives honor to the king? Come on, is there some things the king doesn't like? Because I don't want to do those things. I don't want to go those places. I don't want to wear what he's displeased with. But if I can find out what pleases the king, come on, really living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's about surrendering and submitting to what he wants. I've seen people that made up their minds that they're going to go after what they want, and they're going to justify it however they can, and if God doesn't agree with what they want, well, they don't even want to hear about it. If the pastor has concerns about it and says anything, how could he? How could he? Because this is what they want. This is their dream, and they'll find a way to justify it. But is it what the king wants? That should be the first question that we ask. What does the king have to say about my life? It must be first the kingdom before self, before my ideas, before my dreams, before my goals. Lord, what does your kingdom say about it? Jesus, help us today to put you first. 6S is not a bad thing. Success is not a bad thing. God placed something in us that wants to be successful. And God blesses people. He prospers us. And thank God for his favor, for doors that he opens. But here's the thing. Success can be a problem when it replaces surrender in our life. Instead of being surrender to the Lord and his will, we're looking at success. Success has destroyed so many, not because success in itself is a bad thing, but too many forget it was God's favor that gave them that success. And somewhere along the way, they get to thinking, well, it's okay if my commitment to the kingdom slides a little bit because I'm being successful, so I must be doing okay. And they step out and think, well, I'm doing all right. My finances are doing good. My business is doing good. And so they forget what got them there in the beginning. It was the blessings of God. It was the favor of God. It was the mercy of God. Solomon was a great king, but his life was one of the greatest tragedies in Scripture because no man had more wisdom. Nobody had more wealth, more influence, but somewhere the kingdom of God stopped being first, and success was more important than obedience to God. His achievements became more important than his relationship with the Lord. And while Solomon succeeded greatly, his failure was his success because he didn't keep God first. And here's what I believe today. I believe the Lord has shown me this, that there are great success stories in the making here today. I can look across this room and see success after success. God is going to bless you greatly. You're going to have material blessings like no generation before you has ever had. You're going to a level that you've never dreamed of. And I felt this in prayer. There are some of you even here today that you thought that opportunity has passed you by, that your life is basically over, and there's no more mountains to climb, and there's no greater accomplishments, but God is not finished with you. Hallelujah, Brother Brassfield, God is not finished with you. Come on, I could go down the line. God is not finished with you. He's just getting started. He's got more. His favor, his blessings, his goodness. Come on, get up and go forward in faith. God's given you some ideas. God's given you some business opportunities. Get up and take advantage of it. Say, okay, the blessings of God, the favor of God, I'm putting his kingdom first, and I'm going to step in to the door that he has opened for me. I'm going to trust the Lord. But remember today, Brother Zach, it's the kingdom first. It's got to be his kingdom first. Success is always dangerous when it replaces surrender in our life. First, the kingdom before riches. A rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "How can I have eternal life?" He'd kept all the commandments. I think he was probably a little proud. "Well, I've kept all of these from my youth." But Jesus got right to the point. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, "If thou wilt be perfect," he said, "go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man had heard, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus looked at this rich young ruler and realized something else was first in his life. Money was his God. It was his idol. And Jesus saw his heart, and he just brings the issue to light. And sadly, the rich young ruler decided to keep riches first. Riches can give people a false sense of security, and they start to trust in their finances rather than God. God told the church in Laodicea, he said, "You say you're rich and have need of nothing, but you're really wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked, because their riches came before the kingdom." Does that mean it's impossible for us to be blessed financially and go to heaven? I want to tell you, with God, all things are possible. Is anybody thankful for that? Thank you, Lord. The Bible is full of people who were blessed, who were saved. But they were all able to put God first, not their riches. They knew where their blessings came from, and they were givers. They were knowing that they were blessed to be a blessing. Putting God first in our finances, it protects us from destruction. It protects us. That's why we tithe on whatever increase God gives us. Because I realize the tithe belongs to the Lord. And then we give offerings out of the rest that God has given us. not only returning the tithe that belongs to the Lord, but now I want to give a gift of what he's blessed me with because I've got to put him first. If we're not putting God first in our finances today, how can we expect him to bless us with more? And I told you before, there's testimony after testimony across this house of people you've learned long ago. I put God first in my tithe. I put God first in my offerings because I know the blessings of God on my finances, on your finances. It's only possible because I put him first, because I've been a giver. Can God trust us with material blessings, or are we going to allow riches to destroy us? First the kingdom before riches. First the kingdom. Hallelujah. Many times I've prayed for God to bless people, their businesses, their job, and all of that. And then I also put something else in it. I say, Lord, bless them to be a giver. Bless them to be a giver. God doesn't bless us with resources just to hold on to it ourselves. He wants us to be a conduit through which his blessings can flow. And there's many times that I'll pray, I'll say, God, here's the needs of the church. And, you know, we need this and we need that. And right now we've got some needs. And so if you're looking, I'm not even preaching about that. It's not in my notes. But we've got some needs. We've got some things that we're stretching for. We've got to get our parking lot sealed this summer, and there's just different things that we've got to do, and I'll tell you about that later. That's not the point, but the point is, when I pray, God, I pray you give us the resources, then I'll pray, Lord, and if you want to bless me, I'll be a conduit through which resources can flow. And I can't tell you how many times there's been a door open to make some money somewhere. There's been a check come in the mail that I just did not, I can't tell you how many times when I said, Lord, I'm going to put you first. He said, okay, I'm going to show you something here. We'll see. Hey, man, I want to make sure it's first the kingdom before riches. The word first, it's really a simple word. But it's one of the most challenging things Jesus ever spoke. Because everyone puts something first. Is it our career? Is it sports? Entertainment? Money? What about family? What about ministry? Those things are good things. But Jesus didn't say, seek first your family. Pastor, what are you saying here? Jesus didn't say, seek first your ministry. Really, Pastor? Are you telling me that that shouldn't be first? I'm telling you, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Because when the kingdom is first, everything else falls into place. Every relationship, every other responsibility, it finds its proper place when we make the kingdom of God first. Think about our solar system today. Now, you might be one of those that believes the earth is flat and the sun and the moon and the stars are illusions, you know, to keep us all here. And anyway, there's some craziness about there, but anyway. But if you believe that the sun is the central point of our solar system, I believe it, okay? Every planet stays in orbit around the sun. If the sun were removed, there would be chaos. But as long as the sun stays in the center, everything else is in its proper place. How did God design that so carefully? We're at the right distance from the sun that we don't burn up. We're at the right distance from the sun that we don't freeze. It's amazing. God did all of this, and we're just discovering it here today. But as long as the Son stays in the center, everything else is in its proper place. Some people wonder why their world is in chaos, why it seems like everything is falling apart when God is missing from the center of their life. When God is in His rightful place, everything else stays in alignment. It doesn't mean that we don't ever go through trials and problems and trouble and struggles. No, there will be things like that we have to face. But when God is the center of my life, everything else comes into alignment. If we displace God, if we forget about Him, if we just kind of put them on the back burner and said, I'll come back to God another time. If we forget our prayer time, if we're not faithful to the house of God, if we don't build our family around the things of God and we displace Him and remove Him from the center, I want to tell you, everything else starts drifting. Pieces start coming apart. There's things about our life that there'll be trouble and chaos and turmoil and confusion. Somebody today, you need to get God back to the center. You need to say, God, I've got to serve You before anything else. Before I do anything else, I've got to put You first. My prayer time is priority. My reading the Bible time, it's priority. Coming to church, it's priority. Would you stand with me in closing today? Pilate asked Jesus, are You a king then? The answer was yes. He was a king then. He's a king now. The question is not whether Jesus is king. The question is, have we made Him first in our life? Is He first in our thoughts? Is He first in our devotions? Is He first in our schedule? Is He first in our family? In our finances? Is He first in our decisions? In our ambitions? How many times people have come and said, well, Pastor, there's a job opportunity if I move to such and such a place. I'm like, oh, okay. We'll be praying about that. Well, I really want to do this. Okay. What kind of church is there? Oh, I don't know about that. I'll have to figure that out. Seriously? You want to take your family and move to a place you don't even know if there's an apostolic church there? You don't even know if there's a church that believes in holiness and truth and separation from the world? You don't even know what it's like, and you want to go put your family in that? That ought to be the first consideration. How many times do people run after these things that they want? Not even consider what God has to say about it. Well, it's what I want. I'll be okay. Will you? I want to talk to our young people just for a minute today. There's awesome potential. Awesome. That if he would drastically come and say today, let's go far from God, you'd be like, no, I'd never do that. But if he can get your direction off just a little bit, he knows down the road it's going to be a big difference. That's why we got to stay close to the Lord. That's why we have to have people in our life that can say, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea. That's why we have to have people that'll pray with us and say, okay, we're going to seek the face of the Lord because we want God's will for our future. Should the pastor have a say over everything in our life? No, I'm not that kind of pastor, folks. You go buy whatever kind of color car you want to buy. You don't even have to ask my permission. You just go do it. If God's blessed you to buy a new car, go buy it. Maybe give me a ride. That'd be awesome. Especially if it goes fast, but maybe I need to drive. I don't know if I trust you. Do I care what color tie you wear? What style shoes? No, you do you. That's fine. But there are some things that sometimes God gives a pastor a burden for. I'm wanting to see you grow in the Lord. I'm wanting to see you used by the power of God. I want to see you date somebody that's going to complement the calling of God upon your life. Amen. I don't want you marrying somebody that's not going the same direction you're going in. It's hard to walk with somebody that's headed in a different direction. One direction is probably going to lose. So, I want to tell you today, there's a promise in our text. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As you're making plans for the future, as you're considering careers, as you're considering whether or not to do this or that, I want you to just say, hold up just a moment. Out on all the things you're going to miss out. Your salvation, the blessings that God has for you, and the purpose that He has designed for you. First, the kingdom. First, the kingdom. Somebody's going to have to make some decisions, maybe even this week, maybe in the next few weeks, maybe this summer, maybe this fall, I don't know. Remember this, first the kingdom. First the kingdom. Hallelujah. I don't use a lot of personal examples, but I just want to share just a moment in closing. I'd seen the way my parents struggled to build a church, build a new building, pay the church off. I didn't want to struggle like that. I want to make money. So I go to college and was very blessed to get in a scholarship to WashU in St. Louis and a business school there. We started studying how to make money. Everything was about money. Graduation time came, considering job opportunities, and had three friends that we went to all the same classes. Our degree was in finance, our major in finance. And two of them went to work for a big consulting company in Chicago. Another one went to work with the Federal Reserve. And all of them made over six figures right out of college. But something just wasn't right about all these opportunities for me. I wanted to. Something just wasn't right. And I had a preacher say, well, have you considered Texas Bible College? No. And I prayed about it. Here I'd already been to college, but here I find myself packing up to go to Bible College. And I went there for 1 year. God shifted years later that I was preaching at a church in Chicago, and those two friends that were working there, they were blessed. They were blessed financially. They had a lot of things that this world can offer. But one of them told me, they came to hear me preach, and one of them told me, said, but we sense there's something different. They kind of said, well, we realize you don't make the money we make. Tell you're happy. We tell you're satisfied. There's something. This is real, is what they were saying. I want you to make as much money as you can make, young people. Get your education. Do all of that. But it's got to be first the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I preached long enough, but I know there's greatness here today. God is wanting to do some things that are so great, but we've got to keep our priorities right. Is there anybody you just come? I don't necessarily want us to come and kneel. I just want us to come and stand, lift our hands to the Lord and say, God, your kingdom's got to come first. First the kingdom. Lord, show me what your will is so that I can do it with all my heart. Lord, give me the direction that you have for my life so that I can pursue after that with a passion. Lord, I pray that you would open the right doors for my life. I pray that you would direct me and order my steps, Lord, and show me what to do and what not to do, because it's got to be first the kingdom. First the kingdom, Lord. At the end of my life, I want to look back and say, I put you first.